chairs and all that. And I thought, how could that be? They're just wood, you know. And last week when you were talking about their Tulsi, and Tulsi is ever present and auspicious, and you know that's not ordinary wood.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, oh my God, duh. Of course. That's why this doesn't compare. This is what you have to do, but
yeah.
You know, don't do it when you don't have to.
I didn't in my research, I didn't find any mantras for clickers. Maybe there are some. So those prayers are powerful for also setting our mood before we chant. And so this little session is about the it's kind of three things together. One is the meaning of the mantra, and also praying, and praying while you chant, and also chanting with feeling. They actually are synonymous kinds of things. So Srila Prabhupada gives our kind of basic meaning of the mantra, which is, my dear Srimati Radharani, my dear Krishna, please engage me in your service. And there's a nice statement where he says, in the beginning of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we first address the internal energy of Krishna, Hare. Thus we say, O Radharani, O Hare, O energy of the Lord. When we address someone in this way, he usually says, yes, what do you want? The answer is, please engage me in your service. This should be our prayer. So on one hand, the mantra it's just the name of Krishna. There's no other meaning. We're just calling on Krishna. Another time, Srila Prabhupada was asked, what does the mantra mean? And he said, it means, oh my friend, oh my friend, oh my friend. So on one hand, we're just calling on Krishna. But within that that calling, there's meaning, right? There's some meaning, just like when you call on a person, you know, if you call your kids and you're angry, you're just calling their name, but there's some message attached to that, right? Get over here right now, so there's different meanings in how we. So, I think it's Sanatana Goswami, in Hari Bhakti Vilas, he specifically mentions that if you want the effect of the mantra, then you have to contemplate the meaning while you're chanting. And that's one of the instructions of while chanting Hare Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada gives this basic meaning, and again, it's a prayer. We're calling to Krishna. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I have to read this. He says that with a happy heart, one should recollect the meaning and the form of the Naam. So this is the idea. So we remember the meaning of the name. Also, one should pray to Krishna, which will lead one onward on the path of bhajan. If one does not do this, many births will pass in vain, and one will lead life in frustration, like the Karmis and Gyanis. There's a little negative there. But the idea is that from these statements of Srila Prabhupada in here, is that we actually want to be praying to Krishna while we're chanting. And remember that we're calling for service. Now I just wanted to say one point on this, that sometimes I've had the devotees have said, well, I don't really have these feelings, so isn't it artificial to, isn't it, you know, I don't want to be artificial in my relationship with Krishna. I don't really have these feelings, so how can I really call out like this when I'm chanting? So going back to this idea of first of all hearing, and then bringing the mind, and then bringing the heart, or seeing, you know, where am I at? Like, so many devotees have had very nice realizations that when they're chanting, you know, where's my relationship with Krishna? What am I doing? So that's a nice beginning. And in that, just looking, just being there with Krishna and being open to what you're feeling, whatever it is, then immediately, you know, feelings come, deeper feelings come. So what I mean to say is it's not artificial. We have our issues with Krishna, but we also have a very deep relationship with Krishna. And if we begin by being attentive, then the natural feelings are there. So just to continue this point, this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is from the Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommends that we use Srila Gopal Guru Goswami's meditations while chanting. Careful analysis of these short meditations will reveal that they are intended to help us achieve the different levels of devotional service as enumerated by Srila Rupa Goswami. So, that's what I wanted to share with you this week, and you can experiment yourself during the week. We'll look at these a little bit, these prayers. This is what our online guest was asking about, I believe. So there's two sheets, one for Hari and Krishna, and one for Hari.
How do you get this if you're online? Send your donations to Krishna.com. Send an email to, and somebody will send it to you. Will they? Send an email?
Anybody want to volunteer? I mean, here's my email.
All right. What's the email address?
IT@Krishna.com.
If you want to get a copy, this is the meaning of the Mahamantra according to
Gopal
Guru Goswami. Pass these out.
So again, the idea is this is a call for Krishna, to Krishna. And of course we can call to Krishna in so many ways. There's japa is a very personal thing. And everyone has their own relationship with Krishna, and everyone has their own relationship with japa. But we can always go deeper.
You want one?
So these are very beautiful meditations. I know myself, when I first read this, I thought this first one, Hare, the meaning of Hare, is, O Radha, please capture my inner heart and deliver me from the bondage of material life. My first reaction was, who am I to pray to Radharani? I was thinking like that. And then as I meditated on it, I thought, well, Srila Prabhupada ordered us to. That's why. He got invited to the party, and I'm going along as his guest. I didn't get invited exactly, but it's on the order of Lord Chaitanya, it's on the order of Srila Prabhupada, and that's what we're doing, right? That's what Srila Prabhupada says when we're chanting Hare, we're calling or Radharani, recalling them. So, like a little awareness that I'm already doing that. Duh. So on the order of our spiritual master, we're chanting and calling upon Krishna. So, I'll just speak personally, I guess. Back to this point that I was mentioning earlier about my own kind of journey with japa and discovering the dark side of Haridas and so on. And feeling that, well, maybe there isn't that much devotion there. Or feeling that, anyway, feeling various things. But this first thing was the answer for me. This first prayer was that, no, actually there is a relationship with Krishna, but my difficulty is that I'm attracted to the material world. I'm attracted to being an enjoyer. That's my problem. And I was thinking of the Kaliya serpent that. When Kaliya saw Krishna, he thought, wow, Krishna is so beautiful. But he's in my way. So, he was so attracted. Krishna is so beautiful. But, you know, these feelings are still there. So I think that's something we may go through. I'm feeling uncomfortable because I feel like this is maybe not something everybody wants to here, but this is, anyway, this is one side of japa. But this prayer is so beautiful that this, please capture my inner heart and deliver me from bondage of material life. In other words, we're praying to Radharani, please, because she, the beauty is there, the attractiveness of Krishna is there. And we're praying to be just captured by that. Oh Krishna, please pull my heart to you. Oh Radha, please fill my heart with your sweetness. So, these are very beautiful. I had a wonderful 64 round day. I never got past the first meaning. Just this is first meaning for at least for 32 rounds straight with just meditating on this and praying like this. Because, and the thing, I guess the other thing I want to say about this is that these are, in one sense you could say this is somebody else's prayer, but it's not. It's our prayer. These are so powerful because these are also the desires of our heart. They're desires of everyone's heart, I believe. So that's why these prayers are so powerful, because we can connect with them. Mm. Yeah.
And that goes back. You want to talk about some of the other ones now? You want to do a little japa session?
Yeah, we could do that.
So what we're going to do now is a little japa session. And before we do, I just wanted to do a small few minutes on posture. We did pronunciation. And if you could get your beads, I just wanted to show you something. Satchinandan Swami recommends that at least you try chanting some of your rounds sitting in one place. He actually recommends chanting all. And he quotes Prabhupada saying, it's best to chant sitting, next standing, and next walking. So I'm not making this in any way absolute statement. It's just something that you can experiment with. And I can relate my experience of this. One of the things that Satchinanda asked us to do when we chant is focus our eyes and not look around. As we know the joke, radar japa. What's radar japa, Braja?
Mm-hmm.
Radar, you know the radar looks around. Can you do radar japa? Okay, so I like everyone to do radar japa. You can move your head also. Let's chant a little bit and move your eyes around. Hare Krishna. Okay, very good. So that's like a typical day in japa, right?
This room is pretty good because everywhere there's something wrong.
That's true. Christians
everywhere.
So now what I'd like you to do is focus on one thing. It doesn't even have to be a picture. You can close your eyes. It just has to be one thing, just so you can experience the difference between the connection between your eyesight and your mind. So just focus or just close your eyes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Okay, so it's obvious difference, right? I think part of the problem we have to be careful of when we take japa walks is we can do sightseeing. How do you do sightseeing japa? You know how to do sightseeing japa?
What do you mean?
Sightseeing? You know your... Remember we did sightseeing japa in the car? Yeah. Whoa, look at that. Sightseeing japa. How do you do sightseeing japa? You're chanting, you know, to a neighborhood.
Is that advanced radar japa?
It's easier to do radar japa when you walk because everything's moving. So practically it's natural radar japa because everything's moving. So the point I wanted to make to you is that you can kind of tell what you're doing to your mind by your physiology. If you're kind of chanting like this, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, you could kind of tell that your mind is not really focused. Because if it were focused, it'd probably be more like this, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. What, does that make sense? So it's just something to look at when you notice you're chanting and you know you're walking down the street and you're reading the newspaper. Are you looking? That's a nice house. I wonder how much that one costs. I wonder what it's selling for now. I wonder what the market's like. I wonder who does it want. I wonder what kind of flowers those are. Okay, I like to get some of those flowers. So that's the problem. The sights create the thoughts, and that's why Maharaj recommends, as far as possible, if you can sit in one place, there's less distraction. Live in that place and create a sacred space. So, in this next, and then also posture, right? There's a tendency for the mind to get lethargic if the body is lethargic, right? You remember that story I told about the Japa Olympics? You've all been, you're all part of the Japa Olympics. You've been chosen to chant Hare Krishna. And you're going to be competing with other mantra chanters to see which is the most powerful process of meditation. And you come in there like this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. I don't think so. Right? This is Japa Olympics. How would you come in? How would you? Okay, you're in the Japa Olympics. Take your seat for the Japa Olympics. I want to see what you look like.
Supposed to take steroids first.
Okay, you're all on steroids. How are you sitting now? This is Japa Olympics, right? So it's naturally. If you saw a devotee chanting like this, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You might think, wow, that devotee's pretty serious about his chanting. And if you saw somebody chanting like this, usually happens about 6:15 in the temple. I've made, usually around the eighth round is the time people poop out. You ever notice that? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You ever see that?
Knees,
yeah,
out.
Like,
what?
Yeah, because
I
can't sit cross-legged anymore.
Yeah.
So
I know,
like,
I have to,
yeah,
like, move.
So I would recommend, rather than chant like this, sit in a chair.
Mm-hmm.
Have a weak
so
back. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You can't chant really intently, jump at Olympics like this. Because there's so much energy going against you. That's very difficult. So
there's actually... Yeah, there's a whole kind of science behind sitting and how it brings your attention. And there's actually a lot of things in the Vedas about posture and what it does. So
how about Bhagavad Gita?
There's a
sixth chapter, eighth chapter.
Yeah.
Also,
Bhagavad
sitting
Gita
in front of the deity holding the knees is actually an offense, and this is a deity of the holy knees. So it's interesting.
Well,
so it's better to sit on a chair with a
straight
spine,
yeah,
on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
what
you were saying? I mean,
yeah, definitely.
This is why that fuse. Drop a fuse.
Yeah.
So, do you need a chair? Are there any extra chairs here? So what we're going to do now is we would like you to sit in good posture, focus your eyes. If there's no chair, you can stand up if you want. Just to be Japa Olympians. And what I'm going to do while you're chanting is I'm going to, every 30 or 40 seconds, speak some meanings of the mantra. I just want you to have an experience of a focus on the meaning of the mantra. And how you could use this in your own japa practice. And I did this in Dallas, and after I did it, everybody said, can you make a recording of this?
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that having this and affirmations every 45 seconds or so to chant to, it just keeps, you'll see, keeps us present of what we're doing. So we can begin chanting? O Radha, please show me how to serve you. Radha, please show me how to serve you. Krishna, please pull my heart to you. Krishna, please pull my heart to you. Krishna, please pull my heart to you. Please fill my heart with your sweetness. Krishna, please, may I develop a taste for you. Krishna, please, may I develop a taste for you. Please make me qualified for serving you. Serving you. Krishna, please pull my heart to you. Okay, let's bring the chanting to a close. We know we are advancing in our japa when it's painful to be told to stop chanting. So what we would like you to do for your homework this week is meditate on these during your japa, since you already have homework every day of 16 rounds, or how many rounds you're chanting. Chant with these meanings. So we want to add this to our internal space. We want to add the meaning of the holy name. We want to be living within the meaning while we're chanting. And it's not that you have to do all of these. You relate to some may be a little esoteric, the ones you relate to most. And do your best to enter into the mood of what's being prayed for here. So you add this to your list of things your buddy will ask you when you talk to your buddy. You have your original for the first day, ways to improve, things to avoid. Then you have your sacred space that you created. And now you have this. So your buddies ask one another what you can ask, however you want them to ask. Did you chant, or what did you chant to? Or Bhaktivinoda Thakur says three things. We should chant with the meaning, and we should chant with the sadhya, the goal, and we would chant with a feeling of great humility. So being aware of what it means, being aware of what we're trying to achieve by chanting, brings us closer to the meaning. Yes?
Some people may have a question, you know, why haven't we heard this before if it's so great? You know, where's this coming from, and is this really bona fide, and what Prabhupada want us to do?
He's asking, is it bona fide? Why haven't we heard it before? And would Prabhupada want us to do it?
I just think it's interesting that since the get-go, we've heard that tape, the japa tape, and we've heard Prabhupada over and over again say, sit properly, sit properly. And for some reason,
right,
we just didn't get it. I didn't get it.
I've heard a lot of this before, but just not done in a very detailed format, just like he's saying, subtle things like that. But most of this stuff, you know, I subtly know it. I just never been like sat in a group of people and worked on it properly.
Yeah, I think it's the byproduct of working on japa, that we're digging up whatever we can to help improve it. And certainly, I was thinking today, I was driving down the road and I was thinking, what was Prabhupada's mission? What might he have been thinking when he came to America? Was it that he wanted to introduce offensive chanting of the holy name throughout the world? Certainly not. I was with Trivikram Swami this past weekend, and he was talking about Prabhupada in his last days, and we were talking about surrender and the fear of surrender that we had spoken about last week. And he said sometimes when we were with Prabhupada, it was a little scary, because he wanted so much surrender. And Prabhupada wanted us to be like him. And knowing that Prabhupada's mission was to purify people, we know that he wanted us to do these things. We know he wanted us to take our chanting seriously. As he wrote to Tamahar in his initiation letter, chant 16 good rounds. He didn't just say chant 16 rounds. And a lot of times we think, 16 rounds, I've done my 16 rounds. Prabhupada specifically said good rounds. So I think it's important that we see our lives in relation to the mission that Prabhupada had. And I was thinking after Maharaj said that, I was thinking, how hard did Prabhupada try to purify us? What did he do? So many books, so much traveling. What did he really want from us? He wanted a lot more than I think most of us give, or maybe willing to give. He he really wanted, he didn't come to create a society of neophytes who will be struggling with their minds and senses for lifetime after lifetime. He actually came to give love of Krishna, and he wanted us to embrace it. And that's why he gave us so much, so we would do it. So I think going deeper like this is what he would want. He'd want us to chant. That's what he wanted. He wants us to go deeper in our relationship with Krishna. And as I said last week, it's good to feel our duty to Prabhupada and Krishna to do that, that we're obligated in a sense. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
I was. Oh, thank you.